Midwest Guys presents Gotham Watch.
Yay, Gotham!
Tell Sal it's over. The guns are bought. The killing room is waiting. He doesn't know it, but he's a dead man. On second thought, I'll tell him myself.
Hello and welcome back to Four Midwest Guys Presents Gotham Watch. Today we'll be reviewing Season 2, Rise of the Villains, Episode 6, simply titled By Fire. With me today, as always, is Mr. Ankerbauer. Say hello, sir.
Hello.
Hello. At least your intro is a little better than my brother's. Hi. Anyway.
Yeah. Hi.
I got to give you a little crap, buddy. Sorry, brother. All right. Okay, so let's dig right into it. This is kind of a an arc. If you want to do the whole story arc, this is the second part of the arc of Firefly, our new villain, so to speak. And in this episode, we see Firefly reunited with her family, her brothers, who actually kidnapped her when she was a kid or something, or her mother was banging their dad, and now they're suddenly their, I guess, stepbrothers, I guess. She's re-kidnapped by her stepbrothers, and instead of going back to that life and how she was, you know, mistreated by them, and they threatened to kill her, obviously, and she says, "Oh, I'll stay. And next thing you know, she comes out with her flamethrower and she roasts her brothers. Very graphic scene, somewhat satisfying. I don't know, Brian, what do you think?
Well, yeah, you know, she's just getting the payback for all the torment that they gave her over the years.
Yeah.
You know, she's realizing that she's more powerful than they are now. She has more, you know, they're just little, you know, gnats to her.
Mm.
I felt like this, like she definitely became her own character in this one. Before she was, you know, she was Selina's friend, or she was the brother's sister, and she just did what they were told. She was like kind of like a backstory. This was her episode, basically. You know, watching her develop and the mind change that she had, where she was becoming this villain. You know, and she's like, you know, she even told Selina, I think, at one point, you know, this is who I am now.
Yeah.
You know, and for her to come back out after, you know, yeah, I'll do it, no problem. And they think they got her under wraps, and she comes back out with her flamethrower and just torches them.
Yeah, it was, she went from being the picked on, the helpless damsel in distress. It was like, you know, she snapped, right? It was, she went from that to being, suddenly she realized what she can do and who she is, and just, you know, took the bull by the horns, literally, and it was just like that freak out moment of years and years of torture, probably, and she just let loose. It was very satisfying for me to see those guys get burnt, just because of, you know, how big of, well, I'll just say pricks they were, you know, and abusive, and definitely very graphic. Another reason I'm not sure this show should be on at 8 o'clock, honestly, at night, just from being a father perspective on it. But you definitely see these guys just get toasted completely. In fact, when Gordon and his partner show up, you know, the one guy is still kind of alive, but he's completely black and dies immediately afterwards. But
he was definitely charred.
Yeah, yeah, smoking still, you know, the whole nine yards. Very good scene in a way, but very graphic scene, definitely. You know, watch basically guys burn alive. You know, one of the other favorite scenes, Brian, I don't know what you thought about this, but we got to see Butch try to get his way into Gallivant, and then later Gallivant says, "You almost had me fooled," you know, because they chopped off Butch's hand in order to get him in, and Butch is kind of like, what do you mean, and next thing you know, he's like, you've been brainwashed, haven't you, and he you know, and he brings in his sister and to get help him, or quote unquote help him, and so she kind of looks like she's re-torturing him a little bit to try to reprogram him. Kind of a funny scene because he's got this mallet on his hand now. He's trying to use it, and he's no match, obviously, for Galavant's sister. But a very interesting scene because now we're not sure if Butch is reprogrammed necessarily or not. I don't know. Thoughts, Brian?
Yeah, so when he first goes over there to ask to be in Galavant's thing, you know, his sister says, oh, we can put different things on his hand.
Right.
You know, they show a scene of Butch going through Galavant's things. That's where he gets caught. You know, and he said, always had me fooled. You know, he's like, it's not my fault. And he says, oh, well, you're brainwashed, and, you know, my sister can help you with that. You know, and we know that she goes back in and either A, reprograms him through torture or tries to break him of his... whatchamacallit with Penguin, you know, his loyalty.
Right.
and then he goes, and then we see him show up saying that he found Penguin's mom.
Mm-hmm.
But he shows up with that mallet on his hand. And, yeah. You know, we're left wondering, you know, is he still loyal to the Penguin? Did he actually find the mom? Or is he going to set him up? Because now he's brainwashed by Galavant.
Yeah, because he says she's at warehouse or something like that, such and such, or somewhere. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I think they've reprogrammed him, personally. I don't know. Maybe it's just a look in Butch's eye or something. I don't know. They could surprise me, and he could remain loyal, because he was always loyal to Fish. But I think he wants a little revenge on Penguin for Fish. If not for his hand being cut off.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think. I think he was okay. He was kind of okay, you know, with Fish.
Mm-hmm.
Because Fish kind of ran her course, and, you know, it didn't really affect him personally. But
oh, really?
now that you took his hand,
mm-hmm.
Now he's just like, you know what, screw you, man.
Well, I think that's on top of it. I think there was kind of a love thing with Fish. I don't know, Fish seemed to have a love thing going on with a lot of people. She had something going on with, why can't I remember his name? Gordon's partner. Help me out, Brian.
Gordon's partner.
Yeah. The other detective.
Now that you said try to figure it out, I'm drawing a blank as well.
Yeah, it's going to drive me nuts. Bullock. Yes.
Yeah.
Detective Bullock. But yeah, so... Yeah, we got double you know, kind of a double personal edge against a grudge against Penguin, and yeah, so I think the Penguin's in a little bit of trouble. I don't, you know, obviously I don't think they can kill off the Penguin, so it'll be interesting to see what happens to him. I don't know. He's already got the gimp walk. I'm not sure what else they can do to him, but I don't know. Where do you think they'll go if just shooting off the hip here? Where do you think they'll go if? What do you think will happen to him? Do you think he'll get out of it, or do you think something will happen to Penguin physically?
Oh, no, I don't think anything's going to... To be honest, I think he's going to get out of it. I think Butch's character is actually probably going to meet his end during this season.
Yeah.
Penguin, obviously, is not. He's such a staple for Batman. We haven't even seen Batman yet.
Yeah.
So we know that the Penguin's not going anywhere. And
yeah.
Penguin, not, you know, Penguin isn't a theory like, or an idea like the Joker is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they can't go that angle. They can't kill off the Penguin and then say, oh, somebody saw him and said that they think they could be a better Penguin.
Right.
No,
he's already the Penguin. Yeah.
Right. So, I think, especially after watching the preview for next week.
Yeah.
You know he's going to get into some trouble, and it looks like it's a standoff with Gordon, and they both have guns standing there, and then all of a sudden you see Galavant behind Gordon saying, shoot him. Kill him.
Kind of like the Emperor, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like the Emperor, or, you know, like the devil on your shoulder kind of thing.
Right.
you know, and then, you know, you got a thing on the other hand, you got... the commish. He's not really the commissioner, but I call him the commish because of his show he was on.
Right. I always think of him as commissioner, too. I don't think of him as a captain. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, he, you know, and he's on his other side saying, follow the book, you know, go straight by the book. You know, you don't kill, you don't attack, you don't hit any kind of bad guy or villain or whatever. You know, you bring him in, bring him to justice.
Yeah, in fact, he gets reprimanded in this episode, not to cut you off, but, I mean, you know, he actually puts a letter in Gordon's file for roughing up the one guy he was trying to get information out of.
Right, which I think is a joke, being that they're in Gotham, that he gets it on his record that he punched a suspect or whatever, an informant, trying to get information out of him.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, you know, there's that... Now they're starting to put a divide between the task force and
Gordon. Yeah,
because they're the ones that told on him.
Oh, yeah, I'm just gonna call him the commish, Captain Commish, whatever. There really seems to be he's very black and white. There is no gray, right? And Gotham is probably nothing but shades of gray, just not the book. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, especially as the task force, you know, obviously Penguin is the number one target of the task force. So, and to see what happens with Gallivant too, what will the captain do? He finds out who Gallivant really is. Right. So,
right.
Another favorite scene of mine, Brian, is we see Gallivant sit down with his sister, who comes in and has a spot of blood on her cheek, by the way, from, we're assuming it's Butch's, from his reprogramming.
Mm-hmm.
She wipes that off. And so they have like a dinner with Silver is there again, which is, I guess Wayne, Bruce Wayne's other love interest other than Selina, I guess, kind of sort of puppy love interest. And so they have if there's a dinner, and then there's also a meeting by the fire just between Bruce and Gallivant. And Gallivant says, and he reveals, I think there's corruption inside your company, Bruce. And obviously Bruce already knows that. And he goes and he offers to help him. He says, if I become mayor, I will help you with that. So suddenly we see the relationship between Gallivant and Bruce Wayne deepen. Even though, obviously, we all know now that Gallivant wants to kill Bruce Wayne, but he's bringing him deeper into his web, so to speak, and Bruce really seems to trust Gallivant now with, I would say, very little reservation at all. I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, well, Gallivant is, like you said, I think he was telling the monk, he said, you know, I have a few more pieces to play before checkmate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think telling Bruce exactly what... he wanted to hear, because he, you know, Bruce already knows that there was corruption. He kind of already knew who was involved, and you know, and he wanted to. What he thinks is, avenge his father's death or whatever, you know, and prove that his father was a good man.
Mm-hmm.
Gallivant says all that to him, like he's like, I know your father was a good man.
Right,
but there was corruption in there, and I know your father didn't have anything to do with it, and
yeah,
you know, it was I don't know, you could just tell he was just playing him everything he wanted to hear. I think it's setting up for what's going to happen down the road. Is Bruce is going to find something?
Yep,
he's going to go to Gallivant with it, and then Gallivant's going to use it against him.
Yeah, not only is he going to use it against him, but I think, you know, obviously the ultimate play will be Gallivant, you know, trying to kill Bruce, and how he goes about doing that is going to be interesting to see. I still don't think he's better than the Joker, but I am starting to like Gallivant a little bit better as a villain. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he's developed? They think they're making him more of a villain now, Brian, or do you think he's still lacking?
Oh, he's still lacking. I think they're still trying to push him, mm-hmm. as a villain.
Yeah,
I still don't. He's not done anything. You know what I mean? He's not even. I understand that he's the kind of villain that doesn't get his hands dirty.
Mm-hmm.
but it's Gotham. We kind of need somebody to get their hands dirty to be a true villain.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I don't know, it's just...
Well, he did
especially knowing that he's not his own... He's not really in charge of what he's doing. He's more of a puppet than he is anything else.
Well,
there's
he
other
did.
People pulling the strings.
True, but he did kill Jerome. So I mean, he did murder somebody. I mean,
well, yes, but he did it. It wasn't it was him trying to be a hero.
Yeah, yeah.
More so than him being a villain, even though we knew what the backstory was. So I guess that's why I still don't see him as a villain. as a true villain, like of the comics or whatever.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time, I think, my hard time, I don't, I see him developing as a villain, but I don't see him as a threat yet. Like, I know he's after Bruce and everything, but I don't see him as, like, a major menacing threat. And maybe that goes back to what you're saying. I don't know. But, you know, but I think he's getting there. I don't know. I'm starting to like him maybe on a scale of 1 to 10. Instead of being a 0 now, maybe it's a 2 or a 3. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. It's he almost feels to me like he's one of those like secondhand villains that get maybe one episode devoted to him that they're trying to push throughout the season.
Yeah.
You know, like Firefly got episode and a half, kind of, almost two episodes.
Right.
You know, the Balloon Man got an episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I put Galavan, in between Balloon Man and Firefly, as far as his villain goes for me.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping they'll, you know, as the season progresses, you know, especially with this, whatever, this religious movement he's involved in, he'll become a lot more cynical that way. I don't know. We'll see. I think it was a major mistake, though, and we've said it before, to use the Joker in that whole, that build-up, or even somebody's pretending to be a precursor to the Joker, because the Joker is such a huge icon in the Batman universe as well as in pop culture these days. Let's just call it what it is, right?
Right.
You know, and as far as villains go overall, I mean, the Joker is probably in at least the top five in my mind in the, you know, out of all the villains and all the, you know, the series out there, right? And all the movies.
He's easily a top five. And that's if you're including all superheroes.
Yeah,
if you're just including Batman, he's definitely number one.
Oh yeah, Batman is number one, and I mean, you know, I would, he's up there with Palpatine from Star Wars, and I'm just such a Star Wars fan though. But you know, he's probably worse. But so it'd be interesting to see what they do. I keep saying it'd be interesting to see what they do with Galavan, but hopefully he gets better. We'll see. Another scene I like, this is another scene that kind of worked its way out throughout the entire episode, is Selina finally turns to Gordon to help her with going back to Firefly with her friend. And she kind of trusts him. She says, okay, she's here, but you got to promise me that, you know, she'll survive, essentially, you know, because the cops are after her because she killed that one cop in the last episode, although by accident, but still she killed a cop. And now she's kind of on this rampage of her own. Essentially, they go back to the sex slave scene, you know, place where they sell the girls. And she pretty much torches everybody. She lets the girls go free. She frees the girls, but she pretty much torches everybody in charge of it. And she comes out of there, and, you know, Gordon's there. The cops show up, and there's an altercation, and her backpack with her now double backpack, like a super flamethrower, essentially, fuel gets nicked, and next thing you know, it's on. She catches fire, right? And she dies. And at the end, we see Selina saying, "I should never have trusted you." So now we have the mistrust between Selina and Gordon is back, except now it's, this time I think it's pretty much a done deal. I don't know if we'll ever see those two work together again, not without a lot of mistrust there. I don't know. What'd you think, Brian?
Yeah, it's the whole episode. I mean, the whole episode for Selina was, you know, finding friends in the wrong places. You know, she knows that Firefly is her friend.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't agree with the way Firefly is going about stuff now. You know, and she's like, you know, you got to make it all about you. Like, when she thinks she's helping her, she's like, you know, you got to make it all about you and get yourself out of this situation. Get away from Gotham. You know, this is what you need to do. And, you know, Firefly's like, you know, we got to help everybody. We got to help, you know, because Firefly's tormented between the whole good and evil thing. You know, am I a hero? Am I not? You know?
Right.
Because she wants, at first, she wants to save the girls until Selina tells her, no, don't do it. Let's just take the money and run. Mm-hmm. You know, got to save yourself kind of thing. And then, you know, later in the episode, you see Firefly change over to the bad side. Well, but Selina is, you know, she's still worried about her because she's a friend. And mm-hmm. that's why she works with Gordon. And she says, okay, you know what? So, you know, I'll trust you. Let's go get her. Promise me she'll stay safe.
Yeah.
You know, and then her friendship with Gordon takes a rocky hit because Selina doesn't make it. I mean, not Selina, but Firefly doesn't make it. Like you said, she gets her, one of her connections gets nicked, and then that fluid leaks all over her body. And mm-hmm. then as soon as she touches a flame, she lights up like a fireball.
Right.
You know, and Selina's like, well, did you keep her safe? And he's like, well, no, she didn't make it. And then, you know, Selina's like, you know, I'll never trust you again. I wouldn't say I would never trust you again is probably a far stretch, far cry. Only for the sheer fact that we know what Selina in the comics or the previous movies, what Selina and Batman are like.
Right.
You know, what that Catwoman Batman, like, she's basically out for herself. And mm-hmm. Whatever the situation is, she will go with whatever's going to benefit her the best. Until it doesn't benefit her, then she'll switch.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of back and forth. I just think now it's obviously it's going to take something traumatic to bring them back together at this point. So, which in Gotham, there's no shortage of. So.
True.
So yeah, another interesting plot twist, and you know it'll be interesting again to see where that goes. It's just one more reason I like Gotham because it's their ongoing storylines, ongoing plot twists, and you never know where it's going to go. And obviously, we were taken back by the whole Jerome thing. And speaking of Jerome, there may be hope for us Jerome lovers out there, aka Joker. At the end of this scene, obviously everybody thinks Firefly is dead, but apparently she's not, because at the end there's these two guys wheeling her into what appears to be some sort of hospital research facility of some kind. Down the hall they say, yeah, it was weird. Her suit melted to her skin and it's now her skin, and all you see is her head all bandaged up and all you can see is Firefly's eyes. And apparently she's in some sort of freak monster mutant facility called Indian Hill, a division of Wayne Enterprises. And we see some flashes of some strange stuff. Looks like somebody harvesting some organs. Very Halloween-esque kind of moment. There's somebody in a black leather suit. Not sure what that was. Just some real strange stuff. But it sounds like anytime there's a monster in Gotham, this is where they get sent. We don't know who sends them there, but this is where they get sent. Brian, I know when we were talking about trying to figure out favorite scenes, you put this down three times, so I'll let you run with this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, this was the fact that they brought this kind of aspect in was just amazing. It was amazing, and it's going to give them as much story needs as they can handle. You know, they can bring any kind of monster into Gotham now, and all they have to say is escape from Indian Hill, which I think is almost like their Arkham.
Yeah, I'm surprised that, I guess because they've already used Arkham once, I guess they don't want to go back to it, so this is like another Arkham, but a secret Arkham, so you don't know what's going on in there, where Arkham's more of a public facility.
Well, I was going to say, Arkham is more of a, for the criminally insane, whereas this lab or whatever is kind of for like all the monsters, so all your like Shark King and all those kind of creatures, as we've come to know them on Flash, or Arrow as metahumans.
Mm-hmm.
This is for like all of those kind of creatures. Because you know, even in the comics, you know, you're wondering how they can, like, why they would put somebody in Arkham that they know can bust through walls or whatnot, and how do they just stay there? Well, maybe they don't. Maybe they take them to this Indian Hill, which is funded by Bruce Wayne, Wayne Enterprises, which we already knew that they had some shady goings on. You know, they have their own little aspects. You know, even from the movies, we see that they have weapons. A weapons division. They have all this other secret stuff, and now we find out that they have Indian Hill, which is all for monsters and creatures and stuff for testing and everything else like that. I'm sure it's for testing for weapons purposes. Like, can they be their skills be used for weapons or whatnot?
Yeah.
But like the amount of stories that could come from this is just gonna at least push Gotham for a few seasons, I think.
Oh yeah, This furthers the whole corruption in Wayne Enterprises too, because right now, I don't know about you, Prime, but it feels like to me that the Wayne Enterprises almost has like a Luthor Corp kind of feel to throw in another DC.
Oh, reference. Very, very much so.
Yeah, like he's involved in all kinds of, they're involved in all kinds of underhanded kind of dirty corporation feel kind of stuff. So,
well, especially when we got introduced to the whole Wayne Dumas battle.
Yeah, you find out the Waynes aren't exactly, you know, angels. You
and
know,
never
which,
and never have been. You
yeah,
know, they're always about power.
Right.
And, and what we've always known about Bruce Wayne is that he's not all about power. You know what I mean? So it's kind of odd to be given this angle for Gotham.
Yeah, it deepens that whole thing where in his letter to Bruce, where he says, "I wanted to be a good man after you were born." So maybe Thomas Wayne wasn't always a good guy, and he didn't decide to change or start to change until after he had a son and kind of had like a change of heart and an awakening moment, right? And
yeah.
I mean, ultimately, he paid for it probably with his life, but he. You know, he changed direction, maybe, or he was starting to, and that's why they got rid of him. You know, maybe another subplot point there. I don't know. So, but yeah, I agree. Indian Hill is going to be very interesting to watch. I'm like, please let Jerome survive. They took him there, revived him, or whatever. But
right.
I don't know. We'll see.
Whatever they are, blowfish or whatever, serums that makes the heart look like it's completely stopped.
Yeah, or...
And they bring him back down there, I don't know.
Or they actually do bring him back, but they bring him back with white... He's got white skin now, he's almost like zombie-like or something, you know?
Oh yeah, like yeah. we kept you dead for too long that your skin cells didn't...
Regenerate or
yeah.
You know, something, you know? Hey, an idea of a zombie Joker sounds pretty cool to me anyway, so why not? all right. Well, it was I think we got the episode covered, so let's go right to final thoughts. All right, Mr. Ankenbauer, what was your final thought?
I give this episode. I'm going to give this episode a B.
Mm-hmm.
I would give 3/4 of this, maybe 4/5 of this episode, a C.
Okay.
But the introduction to Indian Hill at the end, I would give that an A+.
Mm.
In my opinion, I mean, I just like I said, the avenues that they can go with this is just going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to be really mad if we get into the season and they don't really do anything with it.
It's a season 3 thing, yeah.
I'll be really upset if they don't get really into it. I did like to see the whole Firefly. I was glad to see that a villain got 2 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to the whole 1 episode, 1 villain kind of thing.
Right.
I think that was a nice breakup because I really think that, you know, the Balloon Man episode is probably the low point for this series.
From season one. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that giving Firefly two episodes or episode and a half or whatever she got, really allowed us as an audience to get into that character.
Yeah.
As opposed to like just one episode, one villain. We tune in every week. Like, who's going to be the villain this week? You know, what are they going to introduce? And for them to do one and a half episodes on Firefly, I think was a good change of pace.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, I would probably give it a B, just because the addition of Indian Hill right at the end,
mm-hmm.
Got my hopes up.
Yeah, I agree. My final thought, I gave it a B as well. It was very close, borderline being what TV watchers call a filler episode. It was not, though. I thought it still, for two reasons mainly. One, it did further the plot of Gallivant Wayne a little bit, and they actually saved Firefly with Indian Hill instead of, you know, giving her the episode and a half or two episodes and then killing her off completely. So I thought that was a saving grace. Indian Hill is definitely a major saving grace for the episode, in my opinion, as well. There was a lot of action, a lot of graphic action, which, Gotham is definitely known for. It's on at 8 o'clock. I keep saying they should probably move this one to at least 9 o'clock, just because of the graphic nature of it. It's not a show for kids. It's definitely the adult Batman show.
I agree with you 100% on that one. I really find it hard to believe, even when I'm sitting there watching it, that it's on network TV at the time it's on, and you're like, really?
Yeah.
He just brutally killed that person on TV.
Yeah, I mean, blood splattering everywhere, people torched, burned to death like they were in this episode, and it's on at 8 o'clock when kids are still awake, you know, or should be awake, right? This is definitely your adult Batman that we probably always craved since we were teenagers. It was a good episode. I thought it was a good solid B. It's definitely worth watching. You get some plot, you know, they further the plot, and the Indian Hill thing at the end just gives me hope for Jerome to bring him back as the Joker and not, you know, maybe I got a feeling if they do bring him back, it probably won't be, I think, because we've had this discussion before, till after Suicide Squad is released, maybe. Hopefully not, but that's, you know, probably what'll happen because of the whole DC thing and not wanting to confuse people, I guess. But still, it was interesting. It was a good episode. It was action packed, and it's good, solid B. You know, not an A. It definitely had its C moments, and it was definitely worth. It's definitely worth the watch, and it is entertaining. So
yeah, I think it was definitely filler without being filler. Traditional filler anyway.
Exactly. So, all right. So where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? You can find us at facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. You can find us on Twitter @4MidwestGuys. And you can reach us via email, the4MidwestGuys@gmail.com. Also, I will throw this out there. You can also reach us if you want us to bring up your comments on Twitter. Please use #4MidwestGuysGothamWatch all together. And we'll take the time and we'll read your questions and viewer comments on the next show. Please get out there and reach out to us. So we would love to hear from you. I know Brian would love to hear from you. All of us would love to hear from you. Get out there, get online, and let's hear back from you. All right. So, Brian, it was excellent having you on the show tonight, sir, as always.
Yep, as always.
As always. And so I'll see you same bat time, same bat channel.